was playing the first song, opening song. Some kid came through the gate. We're in a soccer field. Soccer field's empty. They're in the stands. Mm-hmm. Comes through the gate. Ray! He's drunk. I was an air policeman in the Air Force. I worked with the Carabinieri and the Stradale. I worked with both of them. Mm-hmm. The Stradale are the bad boys.
They're the army, right?
Paramilitary, mm-hmm. highway patrol. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, literally, they're going to grab you by the back of your collar here and grab your testicles with this hand behind and lift and squeeze.
Great.
The kid comes in. They run on the field and grab him. And instead of throwing him back through the gate, they throw him up on the barbed wire.
Oh, man.
The whole stadium went. You hear this. Ooh. And we were like, oh, scheiße. You know? And then pieces of the stadium were being broke. How do you break off cement? These people were pissed. Chunks of cement are coming down and further down. We're playing the first song or the eighth song, the ninth. We're just playing the intros and stuff. Now it hits the lighting truss. Frank goes, get out of here.
Yeah.
We run backstage. We're downstairs. We hear fire, live fire. They're firing live ammunition.
This fuse box number 248, Satis Fracture, and you may have zigged when you shoulda oughta have zagged.
Oh, I'm so late. I'm so late. I gotta do the thing with the stuff for the thing that is...
Hold on there, buddy. Slow down. I mean, you gotta take time in life, you know? Just to smell the...
Oh, places to be, things to tabulate, formats to adhere to, trends to monger, and also the...
Roses. Hello, friends. Welcome in. To this, the 248th edition of Fusebox, curiously entitled Satis Fracture. I'm your putting the wagons in a tetrahedron just to make it more festive. Host, Mark Rose, and joining me as always, over there in the 100% organic and free-range Naugahyde gaming chair, is the Archbishop of Biamplification, Milk Canes, everybody.
Well, thank you kindly. Now, I bet you just can't contain yourself, bro.
I know what you refer to, Mr. Canes, and you're damn right. We have a very special Fusebox interview for you friends coming up in a bit.
You know, I don't think I've seen you that giddy since they announced the glow-in-the-dark deluxe box set of Curse of the Sun of the Return of the Living Damned.
They did?
Psych.
Well, be that as it wasn't. Yes, this was a most, most delightful session, friends, and a hint of what's to come was at the pre-roll of this very show, and if you're a... even the slightest bit curious about the musical works of Frank Zappa, hold on to your barking pumpkins, because you'll want to hear this for sure. So, it's coming up after a short reset, so please, stay with us, friends.
Or was it?
You know, this is really a terrible disappointment to me.
You know, the term grindhouse has a lot of definitions floating around out there, and many are just, well, speculation, written by folks who, for the most part, weren't anywhere near 42nd Street, or even worse, not born during its heyday. Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine sources its articles and reviews by and from the folks who were very much there, and in many cases, worked on the very films being discussed on its pages. Each issue boasts 96 pages of wall-to-wall ephemera. And you can pick up a copy at 42ndStreetPete.net and see for yourself why it has the special place in history that it truly does. Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine. Available at 42ndStreetPete.net right now.
Decisions, decisions. What's a Supreme Court justice to do? TheFuseBoxShow.com.
All right, friends. So, let me set the scene for you here. Now, some may recall that last year, actually right around this time, I think.
Yeah, that was Fusebox number 226, Art House of Pancakes, by name.
Well, thank you, sir. Yeah, yeah. Well, I was telling you all about this remarkable, and I really do hesitate to call them any kind of tribute band, but they do play, and a whole lot more than faithfully execute, the compositions of one Frank Zappa, the 14-piece ensemble known as the Stinkfoot Orchestra, headed up by keyboardist Nick Chargin, and featuring a stage full of extremely talented and dedicated folks that bring these compositions to life, to say the least. The last time they were in town, their special guest was Napoleon Murphy Brock, a vocalist saxophone player who played with Zappa on some of the most iconic albums ever. One Size Fits All, Overnight Sensation, Roxy and Elsewhere, and countless other recordings. Last year, we got to see them when they came to town and briefly chat with the folks after the show. And I said at the time that we'd love to do an interview the next time they come to town and, you know, just help get the word out. Well, as it turns out, they are back. And this time, their special guest is none other than the one and only Ray White, whose unmistakable voice is on countless dozens of Zappa albums as he joined Zappa in 1976. You can see him as well on one of the very few videos Zappa ever did for MTV back in the day, a track called You Are What You Is. And at the top of the show, you heard an excerpt of a story that Ray told about the now infamous Palermo, Italy show where Zappa and bandmates were playing to a sold-out soccer field full of fans when, as you could hear there, a skirmish broke out. Now, not between the fans and the police, as you might have first thought. No, this was between the army and the police. And it turned into a very dangerous situation there. And there is footage floating around out there of poor Ray trying to get through a track, and the tear gas is just wafting on stage, and he's tearing up trying to get through it until, as he said, Frank called it. It was really getting quite threatening out there as chunks of concrete were hurtling through the air and hitting the lighting truss and all that. Well, needless to say, they got out of there safely. So I got to sit down with both Nick and Ray for a delightful, some might even say giddy, chat about all things Zappa, Stinkfoot Orchestra, and the beyond. On this,
the Fusebox Interview.
You know, when I set off to do this whole thing, I wanted to try and be able to get people as close to the experience that I had when I saw Frank. And it was so much more than just the music itself.
Yeah.
And if that stuff is not there, then it's just not the same.
It's empty. Right. It's empty.
Yeah.
It's pages of the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Like Frank said about George Duke. He said George came off the page faster than anybody he ever knew. He would look at the song on page and go, okay, yeah, okay. He see the frame, he see the map, but then put the stuff on it.
Yeah, put the eyebrows in it.
Yeah, you gotta put the flavor in it. You can't just sit there and go, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2, 2.
You count it until it becomes second nature, and once it becomes second nature, then you let it stay
let
second.
Let it go. Exactly.
I just want to thank both of you for carrying this torch, for continuing to carry the torch for the music of this incredible guy, and doing it with such panache. I will have to say, panache, fun and rubber chickens. I just loved it. Last year we had a really good time, and I am so glad we could do this. So thank you guys for
that Stinkfoot panache.
That's right.
That's an album there, buddy.
Put some stank on it.
That's right.
Stank in it on it. That's right.
Well, you know, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having us, Mark.
Oh yeah,
much appreciated.
Yeah.
By the way, I freaking love your podcast.
Thanks so much.
I ended up doing a few deep dives, man. Your production on it, I just love what you do with it.
Oh,
man.
Awesome! Thank you so much.
Thank you.
No, that's great. Good.
I don't know either of you guys.
I don't know who he is. Mr. Ray. Let me ask you.
Are you guys? No, there's some white people in here. Okay.
Let's get the cops. I want to ask you about this.
Oh my God!
Because Philly of '76 is about the time you joined Frank, 76. Right?
Yep.
And
exactly.
Can you explain yourself, sir?
It's the same story because it's so true. I was playing with a band called Willie and the Wild Bunch, and there was a couple of guys. One guy went on to play with the Commodores, and it was a good band, local cats. We knew each other, and we were practicing in San Rafael. Had this beautiful place. You could see the Emerald City of San Francisco in the distance. I just found out that the guy that was back in the band was a pimp. No, okay. So my biological father, Bishop Charles E. White Sr.
Oh yeah,
and my mother, church lady. They were separated then, but anyway, it's not gonna, you know, this doesn't taste too cool, man. You know, so I'm sitting there, and the phone rings. It's for me, and it's Lady Bianca. Now, I was doing a song in that band called Survival by the OJs. Mm. One line said, my little girl needs a new pair of shoes. She goes, can you talk? I go, no. In a room full of, okay, not talking about anything here. It's all good. No city. But anyway, so he says, I hear your little girl needs a new pair of shoes. I go, yeah. Can you be at the airport at 4:30? Yep. Got your guitar? Yep. I was gone. But week before that, though, back up. One of my friends, well, it was actually my wife's friends, his dad was the head of the EOC in San Francisco. Here's this black kid, little rich black kid living on Page Street in this beautiful house. He moved into the project so he could get the feel of things.
The feel of things.
Get a feel, all right. All right, we'll say so. I go to this place. He puts on Moving to Montana. I said, this is the craziest white man on earth. Now, these two things are just not even, you know, joined together, but the way the universe works, right? So then Bianca calls a week later. I'm on the plane going to L.A. I walk into the audition, and Frank says, when I walked in, he goes, oh, no, the Black Panthers are training up for the band. Because I had an afro this big, a dashiki, white linen pants and clogs.
Nice.
So he played this line for me. Da, 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 da. I'm like, what kind of music is this? And he smoking a cigarette, and real arrogantly, as Frank would do, watched my fingers. I said, man, I don't want to see your fingers. I turned my back on him. Play. I said, play it. He plays it. I play it by ear. His manager goes, his jaw dropped. I'm like, hey, I don't know this cat. You know, he's just a man.
Right.
So then he says, can you sing? And I said, a little bit, just a little bit. City for tiny light. Don't you wanna go? do tiny lights, the manager walks across, grabs me, and goes, here's the pay.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there are guys behind me still auditioning.
Of course there are.
But it was like one of those things, and I still didn't know the weight of who he was. Mm-hmm. So I got back to San Francisco, and guys said, who are you playing with now? This guy named Frank Zappa. They fall over. What the hell's going on here? People are falling down. I don't know who he is. I go back. I'm at the airport in Burbank. George Duke walks up, one of my heroes.
Yeah.
George Duke walks up. He goes, Ray White? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, playing with Frank? I said, yeah. Crazy shit, huh? And walks away.
Do you remember this Philly show? This is the happiest I have heard Frank in years. It's like,
it was fun.
He was having a good time.
It was one of those moments, you know, I love Patrick.
Yeah.
Patrick was so spontaneous. And I mean, to find out that his great grandfather was Buffalo Bill, I guess it is.
What?
Yeah. And he's the only one in his family had red hair since then. I'm like, get out of here. What? Oscar Peterson and these people used to go to his house and jam.
Oh my God.
He's a kid. But I love Patrick because of his sense of humor. And he was just great player, great human being.
And I have to ask one more question about this album. You know, you did it. The Torture Never Stops, of course, features the extracurricular activities of somebody. And I was trying to figure out was Lady Bianca doing that part or was that tape?
Screaming? That was real.
That was real, yes. Yeah.
That was real.
Yeah, I know that story, too.
That was from another source.
That was induced.
Yes. Yeah, we got it right.
Induced,
word.
Yes.
Induced. That's what they called it in court, anyway.
Yeah.
Induced behavior.
Nick, I have to ask this, because, I mean, anyone who is going to undertake something like this, is what is it really that got you to form this ensemble?
I first got the idea to put something together to celebrate what would have been Frank's 80th, which would have been in December of 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I was planning on just doing a handful of shows around the Bay Area. I knew that Napoleon was local, so I figured it'd be easy enough to get a hold of him. That was my initial motivation. Mm-hmm. But then when, COVID happened, then we had all this time on our hands. So we're like, well, what the hell? Let's chart some more stuff. So we just kept charting. and we haven't stopped. I think right now, actually, and you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong about this, Ray, but I think that...
You're wrong.
It wouldn't be the first time. I think that we have the largest number of songs in rotation of any Zappa band out there right now.
Exactly.
We got like 75 songs in rotation right now.
No, and I mentioned this to you when we were talking last year. You're covering stuff I've never heard anybody in this ensemble world play. Frank, maybe. I don't know when the last time Frank played Teenage Prostitute, but it was in that last set.
Yeah, or Lather. You know, I don't know that was ever played after that 76 tour.
Mm-hmm.
But it was. I just always loved that, and having the six horns so that we could have them all go bing bang bang. Yeah, they are something special, man. They really are. And but you know, the big thing for me is that, and I think I told you this when we spoke, Mark, is that I feel that this music is historically important, and it has to be kept alive by people who are willing to treat it with the respect that it deserves,
mm-hmm.
and to bring it to people, and present it in such a way that Frank would have been proud to present it. I try not to bring anything to the stage that I would not be proud to play for Frank. You know,
yep.
So
mm-hmm. He would have loved this band.
He would have loved this band.
He would have loved this band because this band would have taken him back to the time when it started, when they had fun and it was irreverent, mm-hmm. and at the same time bawdy and but precise.
Yeah.
But, and that's what this band is, really good.
Very precise, yeah.
No, thank you. I'm very proud of it. And while I will take as much credit as you want to give to me, I certainly cannot take all of the credit. Because everybody brings something special to this, you know? And yeah, so it's been an amazing experience. And I can say that for me personally, that I have grown more as a musician in the past 4 years than I had in, you know, I've been playing since I was five. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I could pick any 4 years of my entire life, including when I was, you know, in music school, that I have grown as much as I have over the last 4 years.
God, yeah, I can imagine. I mean, the discipline in the work speaks for itself, but it's not just the notes, as we've been talking about. Yeah. It's a lot more than the notes. And it's also, you know, Ray and I were talking about this a little earlier. It's just we miss the guy tremendously. But one of the reasons for sure is, what would the commentary be like today?
Oh,
you know, what would that commentary sound like?
Oh my goodness, brother, we've got it's a cornucopia.
Yeah,
of BS. You know, it's like, come on.
Another thing that I try and bring in is, one thing that I loved about Frank was how he would bring in current events are happening, even if it's something that's just happened yesterday. You know, Mark, was it last time that we played at Alberta Rose where what's his name died, the televangelist? Was it Pat Robertson?
It may have been Pat Robertson.
So I found out, we're on the bus, you know, heading from, I think we played Eugene the night before, something like that. And we had just heard that he died. And so I said to Rick, our trombone player, I'm like, hey, Rick, can you write out a chart for the theme song to The Price is Right?
Yes.
No, we were in the middle of titties and beer. And so me and John are doing the whole, you know, the banter thing. And he gets to the point, he's like, man, you can't fool me. You ain't that bad. I mean, you should have seen some of the souls I had. Well, there was Giuliani and DJ Two. and I said, but wait a minute, Mr. Devil, there's more. And band stops. Come on down. You're the next contestant on Your Afterlife is Fucked. And so I figure, you know, that's the type of thing that Frank would do.
Absolutely.
And so I try and incorporate that kind of stuff, you know, because again, you know, Frank was so much more than just notes.
He was,
I try and allow people to at least get a glimpse of what it was like to see Frank,
Yeah. But man, I'm telling you, this band is like, what's the guitar player's name again? Oh God.
Tomek.
And the chap who's covering percussion.
Shota, he's amazing, man. Yeah, wait till you hear him on Easy Meat.
Oh,
oh my God. Forget about it.
That's a Ray special right there. Easy Meat. Oh my God.
That phrase was special. What did you see him on Easy Meat? Okay. Already. Yeah, I knew her.
You know, the one thing, Ray, over the years, one of the things I absolutely loved that you did in some of these tracks, particularly ones like You Are What You Is, and also the Illinois Enema Bandit, because your singouts on these vamp ends are like, this guy can't be real. I mean, he's unbelievable.
This guy's terrified of effing up.
Oh my God, that's just awesome work. Just really, really
thank
awesome.
Thank you.
Well, and let me tell you something, Mark. We're actually doing You Are What You Is now.
Oh,
and,
great.
And it wasn't until we were doing it without having Ray there, and I had to cover all those lines at the end.
No thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't know.
Yeah.
Tell me now. That's a funny mission. You might have heard one.
Funny pronunciation.
Yeah.
The thing is, it's just so long.
It is.
There's so many lines.
I know.
It's like, how do you breathe, man?
And it's harkening back to other tracks. It's like, it's brilliant. Yeah.
But the two of us are going to split those up so cool. that neither one of us dies.
We are?
That's good.
Okay.
there could be some heart attack campaigning there.
Get the paddles. That's it,
yeah. Clear. Yeah.
Exactly. When I played with these guys, it was the difference between, I made a comment about playing with these guys, and somebody from the band said, "It sounds like you're dissing our band." I'm like,
"From the alumni band."
Yeah.
I'm like,
see, the thing about Frank was he wanted the music to move forward.
Yeah.
So when I said, and we were at the Zappanelli, and Jamie and Robbie were trading these licks on guitar, and they were trading off and having fun together. It was like two kids on a schoolyard, and they're making up the rules as they go along and having fun. It was glorious. So I said something like, "Man, Frank," I said, "these are two of the greatest guitarists I've ever been on stage with."
Mm.
And some guy goes, "What about Frank and Steve?" I said, "Well, they're great too, but this is moving it. Let them express and be joyful."
Yeah.
I'm trying to go. Don't be an asshole. You know, I'm trying to be nice. You know, but it's like that's the whole thing. It's like, when I'm playing with these guys, I didn't know. And then I realized these guys are having fun.
Yeah, that's so evident, you know. And it's not hyperbole either. You know, you see that sometimes this is the most uproarious thing. And it's like, yeah, okay. But no,
yeah,
this is,
it and it's like, flat.
Okay, thanks, yeah. But no, this really was thoroughly an experience. I mean, I know, and I think, we were talking about it that last year. There were people in that audience that were getting misty. I swear, at certain tracks, they'd be like, "I haven't heard it like this since I was in the audience," you know? Oh, yeah, yeah. Many folks echoed that sentiment. It was just like the old days, friends. Truly wonderful. What a delightful chat that was indeed. And part two of this conversation will be in our next show. So please, join us for that.
By the way, the whole conversation will be up on our Patreon page for you completists out there.
Yes. Yes, it will. And you won't have to wait either. And with that, we'll call it a show, friends, but not before thanking our generous contributors to this edition of Fusebox, Nick Chargan and Ray White, and all the folks with the Stinkfoot Orchestra for spending some time with us. Go ahead and check out their website, which is cleverly linked in the show description for tour info, merch info, and all the other info that's vital and very important. It's all linked down there for you. And take it from me, you do not want to miss them if they come to your destination. It's indeed the finest type of optional entertainment currently available. Thanks as well to the maestro of meters over there, Milk Canes, for technical assistance and so forth and so on.
A pleasure, as always. And like we said, if you join us on Patreon, you'll get access to all sorts of special stuff like this interview and all its stink-footed glory.
Indeed, as well as free swag and other such wondrous things. And it's cheap, too. Yes, you can support this show for an entire year for what you spend a month on those rancid cocktail wieners that nobody really eats anyway.
Patreon.com/TheFuseBox Show.
Special thanks as well to our friends at Grindhouse Resurrection Magazine for their support, and check them out. The current edition, number 3, is hot, and it's flying off the shelves over there. So check them out at 42ndStreetPete.net. Thanks big time to you, friends, for pushing play on this one. We do so appreciate you spending your valuable time with us here. If you liked what you heard here, well, spread the damn word then, okay? We'd very much appreciate that as well. I have been your seemingly upright but clearly leaning to the left host, Mark Rose, saying until our next cartoon.
Fuse.